Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. This Saturday night, the documentary, Girl Rising, will screen at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, as part of the 8th Annual Berkshire International Film Festival. The thesis of Girl Rising is simple. Educating girls in the developing world will bring about transformational change. Every day, millions of girls wake to a world that does not see them, but dollar for dollar, they are the best investment in the developing world. Girl Rising tells the stories of 9 real girls from around the world. A girl in each of the following countries: Cambodia, India, Nepal, Egypt, Peru, Ethiopia, Afghanistan, Haiti, and Sierra Leone. A female writer from each country has written the girl's story, and in the film, each vignette is narrated by an esteemed actress, including Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Chloe Grace Moretz, and Kerry Washington. That's 9 countries, 9 girls, 9 writers, and 9 actresses. In between each girl's story, the filmmakers share statistical information in an engaging manner, and those presentations are narrated by Liam Neeson. The Berkshire International Film Festival's special screening of Girl Rising and the panel discussion following the screening is presented in cooperation with the Interdependence Movement and 10x10. Dr. Benjamin Barber will chair the panel discussion. He is the author of Jihad vs. McWorld and is the co-founder of the Interdependence Movement. I spoke with Dr. Barber last week and started by asking him to tell us about the Interdependence Movement and how it relates to Girl Rising.
Right after 9/11, about 11 years ago, a group of international scholars and political and religious leaders who had been meeting with me in the 1990s gathered, and we agreed that the terrible attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon represented an escalation in terrorism which required a response other than a war on terrorism. We felt that if the only response to terrorism was war, we were in a vicious downward cycle. And we founded at that time an interdependence movement which focused on the new blunt 21st century realities of an interdependent world in which nations and peoples had to work together to solve problems that nations could no longer solve one by one. Most of the 21st century problems we face are interdependent cross-border problems, but we still face them with 18th century nation states, independent nation states. So the interdependence movement, which is a global movement, was focused on raising awareness and consciousness of the nature of our cross-border world and the need for constructive solutions across borders. And we meet every year in a global city, gathering together young people, political, civic, religious leaders, to talk about, do concerts and connections, seminars around issues of interdependence. The connection between that and BIFF, the Berkshire International Film Festival, is that a couple of years ago, my wife Leah and I, who run the movement and have a summer home in the Berkshires, talked with Kelly Vickery about doing an interdependence film every spring with the BIFF Film Festival. And last year, Leah found a wonderful film called The Island President, about the president of the Maldives. The Maldives will disappear in the next 30 years as the seas rise. It was about the interdependence of global warming. This year, Leah found this remarkable film that's being done on June 1st, Saturday evening, at the festival called Girl Rising. This is 9 vignettes about young women, girls, in the developing world who everywhere are thwarted, impeded in getting education, but these 9 girls tell the story, their stories, about how they prevailed and managed to find an education, secure an education, fight for an education despite all of the obstacles.
Is there any potentially nuanced difference between, or why did you choose to use the word interdependence as opposed to globalism?
Well, globalization or globalism has quite pejorative connotations. Mm-hmm. And we know there's an anti-globalization movement, and on the whole, globalization tends to refer to the spread of predatory markets, of the influence of the global economy, global immigration, and global banks. And most people see it, you know, as being fairly negative, whereas interdependence is a simple reality. It's simply, and it's a nice contrast to independence. You know, 200 years plus ago, we declared our independence, and today in the 21st century world, nations and peoples need to declare their interdependence. So we use that term to contrast it to independence, to get away from the pejorative of globalization, and to be able to talk about constructive interdependence, forms of interdependence that allow people to cooperate across borders.
What impact do you believe the film Girl Rising can have on the audience, on people who see it?
Well, I think it has two very important potential effects. The first is to make people aware of the fact that something like 66 million girls are not educated every year as compared to boys. That is to say, in the developing world, girls' education is still a challenge and is always in peril. We take it for granted here that girls and boys get educated, but that's not so in much of the world. And it's not just the Muslim world or places where there are religious or cultural tendencies against it. It's in general the effects of lingering patriarchy around the world that means that girls aren't particularly valued, their education isn't valued, they're seen as chattel, they're seen as commodities in marriage and exchange and so forth. So girls continue to face extraordinary challenges, and this is both horrendous in terms of the human rights violation, but also a horrendous squandering of resources, because girls and young women could bring tremendous assets and resources to the country where their educations are being squandered. So the first thing is to simply make people aware of that. I think the second thing is to focus on how strong young women can be in the third world and also in the first world in securing their own solutions. Because if women and girls wait for men or governments or cultural institutions to solve their problems, they may be waiting for a very long time. And each of these stories is the story of women who, with the help of families, sometimes men, sometimes women in those families, have found a way with their own courage and resoluteness to get an education despite the obstacles that they face. And in that sense, this is a wonderful kind of signature piece about the strength of women and their capacity to act autonomously to secure their own destiny, even when fate, culture, and patriarchal men make it hard for them to do so.
You are heading a panel discussion after the screening at BIFF. What kind of conversation do you hope to have after the screening?
We are. It'll be a terrific conversation. It will include Maza Mengisti, who's one of the writers. Each of these nine stories was told by an indigenous writer, and Maza's from Ethiopia, and she helps write and tell the story of the young woman in Ethiopia. She'll be there. The producer of the film, Tom Yellen, will be there. And most excitingly for me, Carol Gilligan, the great feminist writer, the author of In a Different Voice, who is also a Berkshire County resident, will be there. And we will talk not just about the third world. We also want to talk about the first world, because sometimes there's a sense that this is just somebody else's problem. But we know from the kidnapping of the two young women in Cleveland, we know from the recent scandals about rape in the military, that women still face very serious problems in the United States. And one thing we'll want to do in the panel is not just talk about them and it in the developing world, but bring back the issues that face young women in this society, issues in which Carol Gilligan has played a crucial role in what the problems are and what the solutions are. So this will be a provocative discussion of the continuing impediments that stand in the way of women around the world rather than the first or the third world, and the ways in which they can be addressed.
To learn more about Dr. Benjamin Barber and the Interdependence Movement, visit benjaminbarber.org or interdependencemovement.org. Maza Mengisti is a novelist and Fulbright scholar. She was born in Ethiopia and lived in Nigeria and Kenya before settling in the United States. Her debut novel, Beneath the Lion's Gaze, was selected by The Guardian as one of the 10 best contemporary African books. She wrote the story of Asmara for Girl Rising. I spoke with Maza last week and began by asking her how she was approached to participate in the project.
You know, I was living in Rome when I received an email from Richard, the director, and also one of the producers, telling me that they were interested in doing a documentary that focuses on girls' education and the lives of girls in several different countries, and Ethiopia was one of them. And they said, would you be interested in doing something like this? We have several issues in Ethiopia as obstacles, and perhaps the most pertinent would be forced early marriage. What do you think about that? And, you know, Sarah, when I got that email and I heard about this issue, I was a little bit surprised. I know that early marriage was part of what was done customarily in Ethiopia, but I was born in Addis Ababa. I lived in the city. I didn't think it was a problem anymore. I thought that was something from maybe 100 years ago. And so I started to do my own research on this issue, and I spoke with my mother about this. And my mother said something really interesting to me. She said, well, Ma'azi, don't you know, don't you remember that your great-grandmother had your grandfather when she was about 11 or 12? And your grandmother was also married at about that same age, about 11. And, you know, it's one of those things that you kind of know in your family, but nobody really makes, it just is not a big deal. It's just the way things were done. And I was shocked when I realized, when I connected those dots, but it also made me much more eager to tackle this issue and to work on the documentary with Richard and the other producers.
For a little background for people who haven't seen the movie yet, the law says that they can't, that girls can't marry till they're 18, but girls as young as 7 are being forced into early marriages in Ethiopia.
Yes, and you know, in the national average for Ethiopia, I've read somewhere that it's 1 in 5 girls are married before the age of 15, 1 in 5 in Ethiopia overall, but in the countryside, in the rural areas, it's 1 in 2.
Uh-huh.
And so the numbers are dramatically higher.
Tell us a little bit about Asmara and how much time you were able to spend with her to craft her story, to be able to write her story for the film.
The way I chose Asmara, which will also, I think, connect directly into the kind of interactions I had with her, I chose Asmara from a video for other girls that the director had given to me to take a look at. And 3 of those girls were absolutely dynamic. They were extroverts. They were engaged with the camera. They were talking about their stories, how they stood up to their parents, to officials, you know, to their husbands-to-be, and said no. But Asmara had, she was really different on camera. She was so shy. She was absolutely timid. She could barely look into the lens. And I saw it as a writer. Now, there's a story there. There has to be a story. And, of course, I didn't realize until later that it's a director's worst nightmare.
sure.
But, you know, I was suddenly curious about this girl. How was she so shy and yet still able to say no to something that has been done, you know, in her family forever? And I went to Ethiopia and had a chance to meet her and still met this very shy, very quiet, very introverted girl. But what I realized when I got there was that she had the support and the love and the adoration of her entire family. You usually hear of these stories that involve parents who are cruel, parents who, you know, don't seem like they love their daughters. But Asmara came from a completely different background. Her mother and her grandmother absolutely adore her. And investigating a little bit further, I found out that her mother had been married at a very young age, and so had her grandmother, and this was just what they were going to do. But I realized that Asmara had been learning in school about issues of forced early marriage, that it wasn't legal, they had the option of saying no. And so that gave her the courage to say no. But behind her came her brother, who stood up to the mother as well and said, my sister will go to school, and I'll do everything I can, I'll sell everything I can to make sure she stays in school.
You write for the film, and of course Meryl Streep reads for the film, that each girl has to say, I want a choice, and this life is mine to make. How can they make that choice? How can they decide to take their lives into their own hands?
you know, one of the first things, and one of the things I saw repeatedly, not just with Asmara, but other girls in her class who had said no, you know, they may be afraid to tell their parents no, but they know that if they go to their teacher or if they go to different advocates in their village or in their town who are trying to make people aware of these laws that are protecting girls, if they go to any of those officials or teachers, then they have the support that they need to stop the marriage from happening. And you're seeing it happen again and again and again. And these young girls then go and support each other and help another girl, you know, who is struggling with the same issue. And you see this kind of momentum building, and it is building and has been building for a while. And it's been, for me, a really fantastic and profound experience to witness.
You mentioned that you were born in Ethiopia, in the city, though, not in the countryside.
Yes.
How different does that make your life experience?
Absolutely different in every way. If you think of growing up in a city with all the infrastructure of a metropolis, to, you know, going somewhere where there is maybe a cluster of two or three huts, and it's either subsistence farming or they make their living through what they grow in their on their farm and sell in the market, it's dramatically different. But it's not very different from the life that my father had, nor is it different from the life that my grandmother had or that my great-grandmother had. And so I'm familiar with that. I still have family members who live in villages and in small towns in Ethiopia. So I was familiar with it, mm-hmm. but it was my first real experience moving in that space, moving in that world.
Maza Mengistu will participate in the Girl Rising panel discussion at BIFF on Saturday at the Mehewi. To learn more about the event, visit biffma.org. The website for the film is girlrising.com. Maza's website is mazamengisti.com. That's MAAZAMENGISTE.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.